Blog Talk Radio.
This is a Post Time with Mike and Mike production.
Wiglet, Jiglet, what a race! Always be Mickey on the outside, always be Mickey!
They're off and it is on!
And betting line has taken the lead!
Choo choo! Boom! Just like that!
You're tuned in to Harness Racing's fastest 90 minutes post time with Mike and Mike, with co-hosts Mike Carter.
Believe in the spirit? Do you believe in miracles?
And Mike Bozich.
Smoking Gun, Shaman Hall, production Smoking Gun is flying. Here comes Smoking Gun! I don't know!
That just happened! That just happened!
Don't touch that dial. You've got Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by BetAmerica. Mike Carter alongside of Mike Bozich, and some of us are on the banks of the Delaware enjoying some nice weather. Others of us have about 8 inches of snow on the ground. What's going on, buddy?
Well, I have to tell you, the weather hasn't been all that great here, Mike.
No?
No, it was last night, it was snowing pretty bad, and then this morning, I have to say the roads are pretty bad because there was probably about 4 or 5 cars on 95 off the side of the road spun out. So if you're, well, I guess if you're by you or if you're in the Midwest, I know Detroit got hit pretty hard, or even if you're out here, close to Harris, Philadelphia, or anywhere in that general area, be careful. Drive very, very carefully because the roads aren't their best this morning.
Well, listen, you forgot to tell Francine that you were one of those cars. You had to call somebody to help you out there.
I made it to work absolutely fine. But I'll tell you what, it was definitely some slow going today. I do have to tell you that.
All right. Well, we've got a fantastic show coming up, Mike. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so sit back, grab your popcorn or eggs or whatever you might be drinking on, and sit back and enjoy. We've got the new Yonkers Raceway Director of Racing, Cammy Houghton, coming on, Mike. He's going to discuss his new role at Yonkers Raceway and talk about some of his previous experience. He was a presiding judge at Yonkers in the Meadowlands and is the son of Hall of Famer Billy Houghton. I'll tell you what, that's some big shoes to live in.
Yeah, and definitely some good breeding right there, no question about it. Plus, we're going to have the guru, Mike Ron Gerfein. And, we always talk about giving back to the sport of harness racing. I know a lot of people do it in a lot of different ways. And Ron has just started writing an article for HRU, and this is some really, really good stuff, especially if you're a horseman. It's called Ask the Guru. And basically, you can ask Ron anything about whether it comes down to equipments with horses or just anything about training horses, and Ron will try to tackle that issue. And I'll tell you what, it's a great, great article. I can't wait to read it each and every week. And we're going to have the guru on at about 10:40 or so, Mike. Plus, how about our good friend, Mike Sugar Doyle? It's always great when Sugar joins the program as our Inside Handicapping series continues. And, Mike, we've been handicapping on our website through our Handicapper's Corner Western Fair over the last month and a half or so. And we've had a chance now to see some of these horses, and Sugar is really honing in, I think. If you follow Sugar's picks, he's really honing in on the product now that these horses are starting to getting a couple of starts under their belt, as opposed to the beginning of the meet where they were coming from all over the place. But now that these horses have a couple of starts on the track, it's a little bit of an easier product. But I'll tell you what, you get some really good value. Sugar's been able to hone in, give us some really good value, give us some winners. And we're going to talk to Sugar a little bit later on in the program about, about how he handicaps Western Fair and how he handicaps in general. But Mike, a couple of things before we get to the guru. First of all, our Post Time with Mike and Mike awards are right around the corner. And Mike, we have got some horse races. We've got some great, great talent competing for these awards. So we've got some pretty tight races.
Yeah, we do. We don't have any official numbers. The only thing we know at this point is we want to thank right at just under 600 of you who have taken time to go to our website or go to SurveyMonkey and take the poll for our Post Time with Mike and Mike Awards. Thank you for that. But we do know that there are some dogfights. We do know that there are some very, very close categories. Like I said, we don't have any official numbers, but Mike, it's going to come down to the last ink on this, and
yep.
Should be interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, certainly. So make sure you vote. And we, you know, have seen this before. This is our third year doing this. And usually at the beginning, we get a real good push, you know, kind of in the middle, because we give people, what, 3 weeks to month to vote. And usually in the middle, we see a little bit of a lull. And towards the end, you know, people are kind of pushed to get the vote in. So don't wait. Don't get shut out. Don't be one of those last minute guys like I am in Christmas shopping. You go out there and you make sure you get your votes in. Log on at posttimewithmikeandmike.com. Go to the Post Time with Mike and Mike Awards section and get those votes in, Mike. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off, because you know what? You're going to forget to do it, and somebody's going to win by one or two votes, and you're going to be kicking yourself. I'll tell you what, this isn't like a presidential election, Mike, where, you know, I mean, you're one vote of millions. This your vote really does matter here.
Oh, yeah, the vote could change, could swing everything. I've seen the last couple of years where we've been one or two votes away, you know, a couple of days out, and then all of a sudden it swings the other way. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. You can vote until Wednesday, December 27th at 12 noon.
Yeah, and, you know, while we're on the subject of awards, Mike, let's talk a little bit about some of the Ushua Awards that's coming up. And, Mike, you have been – congratulations, because you have been nominated for the Breakthrough Award of the Year. And you are – it's not a very big field. There are three nominees. It's not a very big field, but it's a very, very good field. It's, and basically, it's – the three podcasts that are going to be doing battle here, Mike. We've got Mike Carter from this show right here, Post Time with Mike and Mike. We've got Ryan Macedonio from the Trotcast. And we've got Ray Cotolo from North America Harness Updated. I'll tell you what, it's the way I look at it, Mike, is no matter which one of you three win, I think it's going to be a victory for all of us. And, you know, a lot of people, and I get this question asked to me constantly, and I know you do too. Are you guys in competition? Are you in competition with this show? Are you in competition with that show? And we are, I guess, so to speak. But then again, we're not, because, well, first of all we're all really good friends. We all talk all the time. And I think the way our shows go, Mike, is we attack it from a different perspective. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. We definitely have different views, not necessarily different views. That's kind of the wrong sense of the word. But we kind of, you know, talk about different stuff. Ray Cotolo, those guys, they talk about handicapping. We do interviews and, you know, do the live remote thing. And Ryan Macedonio's, you know, the video or Trotcast thing. So it's definitely a different aspect for all of us.
Yeah, it certainly is, Mike. And, you know, it's really good, like I say, to see you guys. You know, and I'll tell you, the Breakthrough Award winner, if you go back and look at who's won that award in the past, I mean, people like Gabe Pruitt and Allison Conte, I mean, people that are going to be in this business for a while, the future of the industry, so to speak. You know, it's one of my favorite awards, and hats off to you getting nominated, my friend. I am so happy. So if you're listening out there, you know, obviously, you know, it's going to be tough to pick a winner, because everybody, each of the three candidates, are very, very deserving for this award. But give our guy Mike Carter the vote. Give him the vote. I'm telling you, he deserves it. Not a whole lot of people realize how hard Mike Carter works. And if you've ever been at one of our remotes, just watch Mike Carter. Watch Mike Carter for a little bit and all the different things that he's doing at the same time. And I'll tell you what, it's fun to watch you work, my friend. It's fun to watch you multitask. But what's really more fun to know and to realize is that the love and the dedication and the passion that you have for the industry. And I'll tell you what, I think that is what's ultimately going to save our industry, so to speak, is the love and the passion that you have. So anyway, I want to congratulate you, my friend, and hopefully you take that thing down.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I'm definitely honored and humbled, that's for sure. It's a humbling experience when something like this happens, because, you know, you sit back and you wonder, is what we're doing being looked at from a bigger scale? And then all of a sudden these nominations come out and you're like, whoa, people notice what we're doing and what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish. So it's definitely a humbling experience. I'm very thankful for the people at Ushua who nominated me. And listen, hopefully we'll be going down to Florida come February.
You know, it's a good time of year. And I know there are a lot of people out there that aren't – a lot of, you know, horsemen and horsewomen out there that really aren't big awards people. I mean, and really, to be quite honest with you, I'm one of them. I mean, I – every day that I get to wake up and do this job and to come in here and to, you know, be able to announce and come in this booth and turn this microphone on and do the show, that's award enough for me. And I know there's a lot of people out there that feel the same way, that just come to work and are just so happy to be involved in, you know, a sport that they love. But, you know, it's still good to see people get recognized. It really, really is. I mean, all these different awards. And this is one of the reasons why we started the Post Time with Mike and Mike Awards, because we really feel that it's important that people get recognized for their desire, their passion, and their successes. And, you know, so, you know, anytime I think you have an opportunity to support, you know, awards or things that have anything to do with awards, especially in our industry, do it, because, you know, these people, I mean, they get up, look what horsemen go through, Mike. I mean, they're up each and every day, 4 or 5 in the morning, feeding horses work, and they work all the way from morning to night. And you know what? And when these people get recognized, it's really a good feeling.
Yeah, definitely. And another award that you can still nominate people for is the Ushua Caretaker Award. And listen, step up and nominate some folks for this award. I submitted my nomination already for the Caretaker of the Year Award. And, you know, these are kind of like the unsung heroes of the some of the horses, Mike. Grooms are being more recognized now more than ever. And obviously, you know, people who have won this award, like Big Mike two years ago, when he won the award, I mean, it's definitely a high-profile award. Ushua goes out of their way to make sure that the caretaker is able to get down to Florida. So make sure you're nominating for the Caretaker of the Year, because I'll tell you what, it's a monumental award as well.
Certainly good stuff. All right, let's get this thing on the road, Mike. We've got some great guests to get to on this edition of Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by Bet America. Up first, it's the guru, Ron Gerfein. Boy, I'm excited about today's show. Gerfein, Cammie Houghton, and Sugar Doyle. We've got a great, great cast of characters for you today, and Ron Gerfein's coming up first and next on Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by Bet America.
Now at Bet America, every track is a bonus track. Earn rewards points for every wager you make on every track. We also offer more points for all exotic wagers. And don't forget about our weekly promos. Check our calendar to see how you can earn double points on featured tracks and races. Sign up for Bet America today to start earning points and get up to a $400 bonus with our new 200% deposit match. See our website for reward points, state restrictions.
Here at The Stable, our mission is to provide fair market for owners of yearlings while giving investors the most informative way to purchase all of or part of a horse. The Stable will cater to all budgets by having an open fractional buying market and a flat rate billing system. At The Stable, we aim to minimize the risk in buying and maximize the benefit of selling. Visit thestable.ca or give Anthony McDonald a call at 519-400-4263. That's 519-400-4263. It's thestable.ca.
Join us for the Kentucky Sire Stakes, a month-long series of preliminary races for 2 and 3-year-olds, colts, fillies, pacers, and trotters. Both 2 and 3-year-olds will be racing for 3 lengths at a $30,000 split guarantee. Series begins on Thursday, August 16th, 2018, and culminates with $250,000 finals on Sunday, September 17th, 2018. There's an estimated $4.5 million in overall purse money on
on the line. Also new in 2018, $50,000 consolation races, which will be held on Saturday, September 16th, 2018. For more information, visit khrc.ky.gov. That's khrc.ky.gov or call 888-KY-BREADS. We're back on Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by BetAmerica. Mike Bozich, along with Mike Carter, Cammy Houghton will be joining us towards the top of the hour, plus Sugar Doyle around 11:15 or so, the fine track announcer at the Raceway at Western Fair. That's what it's called, Mike. It seems like it changes all the time. It's the Raceway at Western Fair. Is that what it is now?
The Raceway at Western Fair District, yes.
The Raceway at Western Fair District. Gotcha. Okay, so Sugar's going to be joining us. It's our Inside Handicapping segment continuing as well. Well, we're kind of making that a every other week kind of thing, and we certainly enjoy doing that. But first, it's our good friend Ron Gerfine, a.k.a. The Guru. Ron making his Post Time with Mike and Mike debut. Ron, how are you, sir?
I'm excellent. I'm glad to be on.
Well, Ron, we certainly appreciate you joining us. And this article that you started in HRU, and I know a lot of people on social media were looking forward to it, and I think it's gotten off to a great, great start. I know I look forward to it each and every week. It's called Ask the Guru. First of all, tell us a little bit about this article. Tell us about how you got the idea for it, and how'd you get the nickname The Guru?
Oh, it's funny you asked that question. A long, long, long time ago, I was racing a lot of trotters at the Meadowlands when I first came out of Monticello, and Jay Bergman gave me that nickname. I'm going to say it's probably about 40 years ago that he gave me that nickname, and it just stuck. And believe me, I wasn't the guru when he made me the guru. And it became popular after I finally won a Hambletonian. But I give him credit for the nickname, and I sort of like it.
Now, Ron, Ron, tell us a little bit about the article that you write at HRU.
Well, it started during the summer. It started about over a year ago. I wrote an article for them about Continental Victory, and it was really, really, really well received. I mean, I was shocked because I never wrote anything in my whole life. I mean, you know, I've been out of school for a long, long time, and English was not my greatest subject, to be very honest with you. And I wrote that article, and then I wrote a few other articles for them. And I happen to like David a lot. We've been friends for a long, long time, and he's always been politically kind to me. So I had a really, really bad run. I was training some horses that were really slow. And I said, you know, maybe I should just write for a while and see what it's like. So I called him up and I said, you know, do you have any suggestions? You know, I know you like what I do, but I need direction. And he came up with a few ideas and, you know, things to write about. And I was at the Red Mile, and when I'm walking the stands, I mean, people from all over, people I never knew before, ended up asking me questions about how do you issue a trotter, you know, when you bring them home from the sale, how do you get a horse off his knees, off his shins, and I'm saying to myself, you know, I could do a service to humanity here by writing this thing, but it'd get boring just doing it about horses. So this week, you're going to like this week's article because David himself asked me a couple of questions. I didn't print them all this week. I just printed one, but he asked me a few very controversial questions that'll be fun to read.
Now, Ron, obviously you do work for them. Gordon Waterstone told us that you're going to be possibly doing some work for the Horsemen of Fair World's trotting panel about the upcoming 3-year-old season. But the question I have is, do you miss training horses? Do you miss being out on the racetrack, or is this something you think
maybe a new stepping stone
for you in your career?
I'll be back on the racetrack. No, believe me, I'll be back on the racetrack. I had some health issues that, like, slowed me down big time for a couple of years, and I wasn't comfortable doing it. And then I spoke to Bob Key's son via Facebook, and they gave me 6 horses to train last year, one of which I think was a really, really good filly. And the other 5 were very, very slow. And I didn't want to keep doing it just to train one horse. And, but, you know, will I come back? I'm sure I'll come back. I just, you know, like, I'd like to have new knees is what I'd like to have. If I could get 2 knee replacements somewhere in the next 365 days, I'd feel a lot more confident about doing it. But, you know, I'm not a kid anymore. You know, it's like walking uphill, you know, just, you know, like training horses for 55 years, your body gets a little beat up, and it's starting to show. It lasted a long time before it showed, but it's starting to show.
Yeah, certainly, and I don't think a lot of people realize the physical toll that, I mean, it's hard work, and I mean, you've got these animals, these beasts, you know, pulling on each and every day, each and every hour of the day, and, but, you know, let's talk a little bit about back in the mid-2000s. Now, Ron, you got, you're in the Living Hall of Fame, you were elected there in 2005, you got in there in 2006. What did that mean to you to get to be involved in that and for that honor? That had to be something.
Yeah, it's very, very, very special. You know, unfortunately, I got enveloped in that controversy and didn't get in the first time I was on the ballot, which infuriated me. But as a matter of fact, I even thought of not accepting the nomination the second year. That's how furious I was over it. Because I just, you know, like, it's even to this day, I think the selection process sucks. I mean, it just, the people that do the choosing are way, way too politically oriented, as far as I'm concerned. It's just, it's not an equitable situation at all. I mean, you know, like I have friends like Per Erickson, won 3 Hamiltonians. He's done everything. He was, you know, like Lily White, never was considered a drug guy or, you know, has no strikes against him. And the guy's never been on the ballot. And, you know, like, I don't want to demean people that are in, because there's really nobody in that I think is not worthy of being in. I can't say that. But I think there are people more worthy of being in that aren't in than are. And I just, something's got to be changed. But, you know, like, I'm not in a position to do any changing.
Now, Ron, obviously you've done a lot as far as harness racing goes. You've been a trainer, driver, you've done the judging, you've done the writing. Is there anything in the sport that that you would like to do that you haven't done? And what was your favorite throughout your career?
You're asking a lot of questions at one time here. You know what I wanted to do this year? I really wanted to be a judge. And I spoke to Stacy, who is now Stacy Cahill, who now the head of Pompano Park. And she thought it was a great idea. The only problem, the only glitch is, in order to be a judge, you have to pass, like, some tests, and you have to go to a school and everything like that. And according to her, the school was only existed in the month of July. And I was at Harrisburg and reading Facebook, and I see my buddy Nick Salvi's in school learning to be a judge, which, by the way, he said was very, very difficult. It's hard to go to school when you're, you know, in your 50s. But I so was upset that no one ever told me that was happening. And then I started writing this this article for HRU, and I'm saying, you know, God works in strange ways, because I'd much rather be doing what I'm doing than being judged at Pompano every night, because I happen to love food, and I like to go to dinner. I go to dinner probably six nights a week, and that would put a crimp in my lifestyle. But
visiting with the guru, Ron Gerfine. Ron, listen, they call you the guru, and obviously you're somewhat opinionated. I think everybody's got a lot of opinions on where the sport of harness racing needs to be and what it could do to try to get back. I don't think it'll ever fully get back to its heyday, but maybe try to get some of that mojo attracting fans. Ron, what would you do if you were the actual head of harness racing? What are some of the changes that you would make to try to put harness racing back in the spotlight?
Absolutely not. There's not. We're beating a dead horse. You got to understand something. I got into harness racing because I loved horse racing. My dad took me to the racetrack. Now think of today. Okay, for every one baseball team there was when I was a kid, there are five. For every one basketball team, there are five. For every possible way to make a wager, there are 12. I mean, media. I mean, there's just so much more going on now than I was born. There was no television. You know, I listened to radio until I was 10 years old, people just started using airplanes. And it's just, the whole world is so different. I mean, I remember being on the apron at Roosevelt Raceway when Neville Pride Nunda May had that great race. If I had a heart attack, I couldn't fall down. That's how many people were standing on the apron. I mean, it was like people were shoulder to shoulder. I mean, 50,000 people was not unheard of. I mean, there's just too many. The population hasn't increased to the amount, to the point where the same amount of people can, do a variety of things. So you have, let's say, so many more choices now than you had then. There's really nothing you could, slats have become a savior. You know, I think the most important thing is to work on making sure that, the same thing, it doesn't happen in the United States that happened in Canada, where they ducked out the back door, on the 29th hour or something. It's just that's about our only savior. I mean, look what it's done to Ohio and Indiana. I mean, it's created like a lifeline for a whole bunch of horsemen. I just wish it would happen in Illinois, and I certainly wish it would happen in New Jersey.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, Ron, listen, we certainly appreciate you joining us. We always look forward to your article. It's a great, great article in Harness Racing Update. You can catch it each and every week. It's called Ask the Guru. Ron, we certainly appreciate you joining us, my friend. Best of luck in the article, and we can't wait to read it each and every week.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, that was Ron Gerfine. And I'll tell you what, Ron's, you ever sit down and talk to Ron, he's got his opinions on some certain things, and I think we heard some of those here today, Mike Carter. But I'll tell you what, it's getting back to the article that he writes for HRU, it's really, really good stuff. I mean, I'm not obviously on that side of the fence where, you deal with horses on a daily basis, but, it's still a good article in each and every week, and you could still learn a whole lot about, what actually goes into rigging a horse and what goes into racing a horse.
Right. You get the equipment changes. You can find out exactly what that equipment change might do for some people. Some horses, they like the hobbles, or they don't like the blind cups or what have you. And so it's interesting to kind of see that kind of portrayed in an article. And I'll tell you what, Mike, even better is the fact that, it's out there for the public. The public can read it and maybe try to get some understanding of it.
Yeah, especially if you watch racetracks now, you see the scrolls on the bottom. And, you know, the TV departments at these various racetracks now have included equipment changes. And a lot of times, you know, even me, I mean, I don't really know what a lot of them mean at some points. And you know, I mean, from a handicapping point of view, maybe we'll try to nail Sugar down on that a little bit coming up at about 11:15, how much stock he puts into some of these equipment changes. I don't know. Do you, when you're handicapping a race, do you put much stock into them, or does it just kind of depend?
Blinkers versus non-blinkers is big on me, especially in the thoroughbred industry. But I use it some with when I'm looking at the harness stuff too, Mike. I mean, it's, you know, some of that stuff doesn't sound like it would help, but like first time hobbles, or you know, some of that stuff really can make or break a horse in some instances.
All right, when we come back, it's going to be the new director of racing at Yonkers Raceway, Cammy Houghton, plus Sugar Doyle. It's coming up after that and much, much more on this edition of Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by Bet America. Back in a flash. New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program. Retrain, rehab, rehome.
New Vocations focuses on adoption as the optimal solution for the large numbers of horses that leave the track each year. The program provides rehabilitation and transitional training to prepare the horses for a productive life beyond racing. Each horse is evaluated for temperament, soundness, and suitability to help ensure a successful adoptive match. New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program, celebrating 25 years and over 6,000 horses placed.
Learn more at newvocations.org.
Have you played harness racing's hottest new game? Often pacing allows you to build and manage a stable of horses, race at real-life racetracks, enlist real drivers, buy, sell, and claim horses, start a breeding operation and breed a champion, and compete against your friends and the entire often pacing community. Often pacing is available at the Google Play Store and on the App Store. For more information, follow them on Twitter or on Facebook at Off and Pacing.
Are you interested in learning more about owning standardbred racehorses? Do you want to experience the excitement of driving a standardbred? Owning a racehorse is a once-in-a-lifetime experience and not as difficult as you may think. The United States Trotting Association wants to help make your ownership dreams a reality. Contact a member of the Ownership Concierge team by email at owners@ustrotting.com or by calling 877-800-8782, extension 5555.
Thank you for being part of the 2017 Breeders' Crown at Hoosier Park Racing and Casino. Together, we witness the greatest harness racing athletes in the world vie for $6 million and solidify their place in Breeders' Crown history. We would like to offer our sincerest congratulations to the 2017 Breeders' Crown champions. Join us for the 2018 live harness racing season. 160 days of the country's best harness racing action. Visit HoosierPark.com for more information on the upcoming live racing season.
We're back on this edition of Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by Bet America. Mike Carter alongside of Mike Bozich. And we're joined now by the director of racing at Yonkers Raceway, Mr. Cammy Houghton. Cammy, how are you?
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Not too bad. Well, you've been in the job a couple of weeks. Talk to us a little bit about the new position and kind of how it came about.
All right. First, congratulations to Mike. Mike Carter, you got a Bourgeois Award.
Yes, sir. I was nominated for the Breakthrough Award. I appreciate that.
That's congratulations to you. Yeah, I got, my thanks go out to Mr. Rooney and the COO, Vice President Bob Galterio, for giving me this opportunity. And I'm excited about the 2018 season. We're gonna do some good things here. Our expectations and a different, more competitive and exciting racing program. So We're gonna do some good stuff here, I think. I think with the product that we have and the purses, how high they are, and the drivers, I mean, I'd put my drivers up against anybody in the country, any track. You know, with Brian Sears, George Brennan, Jason Bartlett, I think we got something here that people need to we need to get out to the public and say, hey, you know, we're the best. So, but it's an uphill climb for me, Mike. But we'll get it done.
The Houghton name, Mike Bozich here, Cammy. The Houghton name is very synonymous in harness racing. I mean, if you know anything about harness racing, you certainly know the Houghton name. Tell us a little bit about your beginnings, kind of, you know, your how you got kind of got started in the sport of harness racing.
Well, you first start out with my dad first starting out and growing up with him. It was like when I was training horses with my dad, you first start out as a groom, you know, you climb up the ladder, and I was a groom, you know, at home. We had horses at our home. He had some thoroughbreds there. We used to ride horses all in Oyster Bay, Long Island all the time. And, you know, you got to go out there and do the stalls and clean the horses and turn them out. And, you know, that's how you first start out. You don't just jump in the jock cart and start training horses. You got to groom them. And then I started at Pompano Park training horses. And, you know, you want to know something? I didn't realize that I had a dad like he was. And when his tragic accident went, you know, he was just my dad and my best friend. And then, you know, it's just when that accident happened and he passed away, it shook me up. I mean, it shook me up big time. So I was at Pompano Park there, you know, just hanging out there doing nothing. And Harold Duras at the time, he was the general manager at Pompano Park. He says, you know, I'm tired of seeing you just hanging around here. He says, I'm going to send you to Columbus, Ohio, the judges school. And I was like, yeah, okay. A week later, I went to judges up to Columbus. And took the test and went to judges school and, you know, buckled down and did that. And the next thing I know, 20 years of being a judge in New York State and at the Meadowlands went by very, very fast. And now here I am, director of racing at Yonkers, which is a great opportunity. I'm really thrilled to do it.
Now, Cammy, obviously, going from what you were doing and then to the presiding judge to now director of racing, what kind of differences do you kind of look at racing from a different perspective when you move into a position like this?
Well, Mike, here's the thing. I'm going to be like a producer, basically, and try to get this thing on the channel, on the TV, to where we could, you know, focus in on the horses and try to make things different. Like we have a drone shot here. We got cameras around the last turn in the winner's circle, but they're not being used right now. So I'm going to try to keep it going. And when somebody looks at our signal, you know, I want them to say, wow, that's pretty cool what they're doing. You know, I mean, with our drivers being the best in the country and the best horses, we got to get it out there to the simulcast community, you know, that's very, very important. And that's the broadcast department of it. That's if you have a signal that's dull, it definitely doesn't stand out. And Yonkers, we're going to turn things around and get our signal tip top shape.
And, you know, I'll tell you, that's a good point, Cammy, because nowadays the visual aspect of things is just so important, because a lot of times when you sit at an OTB, you're looking at a bank of TVs, and a lot of times the sharpest production is what's going to draw your eye, and you know, you're more liable to certainly play a couple of bucks on that racetrack as opposed to maybe another signal that's not as sharp. But Cammy, besides that, I know you touched on that, but obviously, you know, you guys got, you know, obviously the best drivers, the best purses, really, really good racing now, great horses.
Oh, no doubt.
What are some of the challenges, some of the other challenges? I know you mentioned the signal, but what are some of the other challenges that you think that face Yonkers?
Well, the other challenges are not really challenges. We have to look at, I got to look at a lot of departments. I need to take a look at our race office, you know, and the thing is, I spoke to Mr. Gautierio and, you know, it's going to be one thing at a time, you know, Mike, one thing at a time. And you know, like I said, I got an uphill climb here, but I think that we could do something really, really good with our product and our guys. This Saturday night, I'm having a meeting with our drivers, and I'm going to let them know, you know, our post braids, slow these horses down so we can zoom in on them and get a you know, really, really good shot of them. This is what the people, you know, out all over the simulcast area, we need to do that. Like in a post braid when the 6 and 7 go flying by and you know, it's just so unprofessional. That's going to stop. All that's going to stop. These guys are going to do as I say, and if they don't like it, they could drive somewhere else. But we have to buckle down and turn things around here. And I'm going to do that. I want to take a look at the broadcast department, the race office, and definitely the mutual department, the times that are off, you know what I mean? Make
yeah.
sure that when we race, you know, we don't go on top of the Meadowlands and we stay away from everybody and be in between everybody as far as the being on the racetrack. Now, that's going to be me. I'm going to be like a director. I'm going to have TVs in front of me. I'm going to watch the Meadowlands. I'm going to watch Northfield. I'm going to watch all these racetracks. And when they're done, then we're coming out. So
that's good. Yeah, I'll tell you what, Cameron.
Listen, Mike, I'm going to do some exciting stuff here. You wait and see. I'm going to get together with the SOA, the Standardbred Owners Association, with Joe Feraldo and he has a fellow named Alex that works with him. We'll get together and we'll come up with some gimmicks, you know, for the betting public. And, you know, the most important thing is to get it out there so the people know that and recognize that, hey, Yonkers is right here and, you know, we're willing to have you.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, you're in the right department already, Cammy, because my co-host,
yeah.
Mr. Mike Carter, sets the post times at Northfield Park. So you guys right
whoa,
now,
whoa,
you're
whoa,
already,
wait,
they're
I
already
know.
Making it.
There you go. There you go, Northfield. Uh-oh, I got to watch it. Got to watch it. Don't come on top of us.
Oh, all right. Well,
I'll tell you what,
you know what, Cammy, Mike Carter does a really, really good job at that. And it's very important nowadays. And that is honestly, that's one of my pet peeves of harness racing is when you're, you know, there's three or four harness tracks remaining in the evening and all three or four of them go like a minute or two or a lot of times on top of each other. And I'll tell you, the thoroughbreds aren't no better. The thoroughbreds are kind of synonymous for that, too. So I think
really?
Very important. Yeah. It's very important, I think, you know, because listen, if you're the only track running in that 4 or 5 minute bumper period, then, you know, you're going to get a lot of the action better. So your handle's going to go up, you know, by default.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike, you want to know what else I did? And with the thanks of the general, Mr. Rooney and Mr. Galterio, got rid of the passing lane. There's going to be no more passing lane.
Oh, my. Now, that's big breaking news, Mike Carter.
Breaking news.
We're getting rid of the passing lane. We're going back to basics. These guys are going to pull. They're not going to sit in there no more and then wait for the passing lane and go up through.
Do we have a date for that?
When do we come back? Where's our calendar? Stand by, because we go on the holiday break. When do we come back?
Okay.
We come back the 7th, Mike. The 7th. I'm sorry. So,
wow.
We're working on that. We sent a letter up to the gaming board for, you know, permission to get rid of it. And I did that yesterday.
I'll tell you what, Cammy, let's do this. And I don't think we've ever done this on this show before. Let's book you for the end of January or maybe even the beginning of February, because we want to get an update on how these things and changes are going, because it sounds like a really exciting time.
Yeah, and the other thing, you know what, Mike? The other thing is that I've been observing for the last month here, and just kind of looking around. And let me just take one more minute of your time.
Absolutely.
I see the horses come out. I see the horses come out the ramp, okay? And they're out there. They're out there for 4.5-5 minutes. Now, can you explain to me how the money can get in the pool? With 5 minutes, these drivers, when I tell them Saturday night, they're going to be out there 7 minutes, possibly I might add a minute. They're going to be out there a little while so we could track these horses on the camera and get monies in the pool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't get money in the pool if they're out there. They go out there, they go one time around the track and then behind the gate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
and
I mean,
then,
you know,
the
weather can
the
play
drivers,
a part of that,
you know,
too, certainly.
The drivers go, oh, well, it's cold. Well, you know what? Get a pair of gloves. You know what? Dress warm.
All right. Well, listen, buddy,
anyway,
we certainly appreciate you joining us.
Change,
but, hey, we have to have you on coming up in February.
I want to change things for the better, yeah. Go ahead.
We have to have you come back in February, my friend, because this is good. And I'll tell you what, I can't wait to see some of the changes there. And best of luck to you, my friend, because, you know, Yonkers is a very, very pivotal part of this industry as a whole.
Yes. And Mike Carter, I love his signal. He's got a great signal out there in Northfield. No, he really does. I'm not kidding.
I appreciate
it. Great.
No, we do.
And I'll tell you what, we've got you guys both sitting right here. You'll never
absolutely
ever see Northfield and Yonkers run over each other ever again, right, guys?
No
that's
way.
Right.
I'm watching.
That's right.
I'll be watching that now. I'll be watching that really close.
All right, Cammy, thank you, buddy.
Thanks for having me, sir.
All right. That was wow. Can you, Mike? That was
talk
that
about
was unbelievable.
News. What news? I can't believe that. In fact, Ushua Canada just tweeted out. They said, "Whoa, had to stop an article in progress." And with that tweet, could not believe.
If you missed this interview, if you happen to just tune in right now and only caught the last couple of minutes, this is worth replaying. This is absolutely worth. If I had the technology, I would replay that like right after Shannon again for people that missed it. Because, wow, that's some very, very interesting stuff with some changes going on at Yonkers Raceway, my friend.
Absolutely incredible. So if you just missed it, and our Twitter is beginning to blow up from this, Cammy Houghton has requested from the New York State Gaming Commission that they eliminate the passing lane at Yonkers Raceway.
Wow.
That is that's some big news, that's for sure. We weren't expecting. That's one. Normally when we bring guests on this show, we expect, you know, hey, they tell us ahead of time, hey, you know, I got some stuff I want to talk to you about. This blew our minds. And you can tell from our reactions when he said it, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, good stuff. You know, I'm going to tell you, you know, you cannot be afraid to make changes in this industry. If you want to succeed, you cannot be afraid to make changes. And I think that's been one of the big knocks on this industry in general is the reluctance to make changes, for good or bad. Some changes are going to be bad and they're not going to work. But you know what? At this point, you got to try. You got to try, right?
I mean, it's something that definitely is worth a look at. That's for sure. I gotta say, you know, there's a lot of people for the passing lane. There's a lot of people against it, and places like the Little Brown Jug, it forces them to kind of leave or kind of do some things maybe they wouldn't do on a regular basis. So this is some interesting stuff. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Cammy's coming back in February. We booked him. We got his commitment. He's coming back on this program in February. We're gonna keep close tabs on how things are working out at Yonkers. Sugar Doyle's coming up, and well, I'll tell you what, Sugar, that's a tough act to follow, my friend. But we're gonna go into inside handicapping. It's our it's not a weekly segment. It's kind of like a bi-weekly segment, or maybe once every 3 weeks. But it certainly turned into a very popular segment, and Sugar Doyle is going to be joining us here in just a few minutes as we go inside his handicapping mind. Wow, Mike Carter. You've got Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by Bet America.
Now at Bet America, every track is a bonus track. Earn rewards points for every wager you make on every track. We also offer more points for all exotic wagers. And don't forget about our weekly promos. Check our calendar to see how you can earn double points on featured tracks and races. Sign up for Bet America today to start earning points and get up to a $400 bonus with our new 200% deposit match. See our website for reward point state restrictions.
Join us for the Kentucky Sire Stakes, a month-long series of preliminary races for 2 and 3-year-olds, colts, fillies, pacers, and trotters. Both 2 and 3-year-olds will be racing for 3 lengths at a $30,000 split guarantee. Series begins on Thursday, August 16th, 2018, and culminates with $250,000 finals on Sunday, September 17th, 2018. There's an estimated $4.5 million in overall purse money on
On the line.
Also new in 2018, $50,000 consolation races, which will be held on Saturday, September 16th, 2018. For more information, visit khrc.ky.gov. That's khrc.ky.gov or call 888-KY-BREADS.
Have you played Harness Racing's hottest new game? Often Pacing allows you to build and manage a stable of horses, race at real-life racetracks, enlist real drivers, buy, sell, and claim horses, start a breeding operation and breed a champion, and compete against your friends and the entire Often Pacing community. Often Pacing is available at the Google Play Store and on the App Store. For more information, follow them on Twitter or on Facebook at Off and Pacing.
New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program. Retrain, rehab, rehome.
New Vocations focuses on adoption as the optimal solution for the large numbers of horses that leave the track each year. The program provides rehabilitation and transitional training to prepare the horses for a productive life beyond racing. Each horse is evaluated for temperament, soundness, and suitability to help ensure a successful adoptive match. New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program, celebrating 25 years and over 6,000 horses placed.
Learn more at newvocations.org.
You know, Mike, we haven't had very many of those moments on the show. And, you know, we've interviewed countless people, countless people, many people. As a matter of fact, I think this is, as I was creating the show this morning, this is our 131st episode. Okay. And you know, it's great listening to all these horsemen, horsewomen. We've had people from all different kind of walks in this industry. And you know, there haven't really been a whole lot of moments where you just kind of just stop,
right?
Where it just seems like, wow. And that would, I'm going to tell you that's good for Cammy. Good for Yonkers. Great.
Well, here's the thing. And I told you this off the air. We know breaking news is coming, but this, he just blurted it right out. And I'll tell you what, it was good stuff. And I'll tell you, our Twitter and everything is blowing up with some people are extremely happy. I haven't seen one bad or negative remark yet. So, hey, good job to Yonkers to try something new and see if maybe it can kind of brighten the product a little bit.
Well, that's going to be, and you know, our next guest is, they've had, you know, questions about what to do with their passing lane. And I think this is kind of starting to be an industry thing. I think people are really starting to reevaluate ways that the passing lane kind of figures into this thing. And we're joined by Sugar Doyle. Sugar, I don't know if you caught the last 10 or 15 minutes of this show. But Cammy Houghton, the new director of racing at Yonkers Raceway, and this is breaking news, the passing lane is going to be gone at Yonkers. And I know, you know, you're a good person to talk about this because before you guys started the last meet, you guys put on social media some feelers about maybe doing some different things with the passing lane. And I'll tell you, it's interesting that the industry is really starting to, I don't know if it's second guessing itself, but it's really starting to take a closer look at the passing lane, isn't it?
That's right. We did the online survey prior to this meet back in September, and the votes came in. Votes among horse people and horse players appeared to be split. Some of them wanted the passing lane, some of them didn't. After further thought, we just weren't ready to put it in place. I myself like our track just the way it is. Without the passing lane, I believe that's how we get the flow. They're out and rolling at most times around the quarter mile. Our style of racing It's much like that of Northfield. Lots of flow, lots of flow. Some other half-mile tracks, you may not see as much flow. I know I do watch Yonkers some, and maybe that's a part of that. Maybe they're trying to create more flow. I like our track just fine without a passing lane in London.
Well, Sugar, let's talk a little bit about handicapping styles, things of that sort. And one thing that Ron Gerfein brought up earlier, and we were kind of talking about, sometimes we see like equipment changes posted on TV and things of that sort. And, you know, some of the bettors and the gamblers, they may not know how to take those equipment changes. How much stock do you put into those equipment changes?
You got to take note of them all, especially this time of year, because you're going to have so many different track conditions. Right up front for me is the first and second time Lasix angle. Horses that have been running all summer, and they're getting into the winter, the cooler weather. It's going to switch up breathing on some of them. Maybe some of them have had allergies through the summer. The colder weather, of course, takes those allergies out of the way. Stuff that you just don't see in the program. But, I mean, any horse going first, second time Lasix this time of season, that certainly jumps off the screen at me. Shoeing changes is another one, because you're not going to have those fast tracks we've had in the summer. You're going to have a little bit of a snow mix, sometimes a frozen track, of course, up here in Canada. So key shoeing changes, those are things I look for this time of year. Adding blinkers is always a go-to play for me. Blinkers on, horn blowing usually is the call for me. Anything coming in with hobbles extended. The hobbles shortened up, that doesn't catch my eye too much. But shoeing changes, blinkers, second and third time Lasix, that does it for me.
Visiting with the track announcer at Western Fair, Sugar Doyle. It's our inside handicapping segment. Sugar, let's focus in a little bit on Western Fair. And I know you've got a lot of guest handicappers. I know we pick Monday and Tuesday. You've got Rod Allams and NahuPicks.com. You've got Lou Nose. You've got the Hanover Hustler. A lot of different people, even drivers. I saw Brett McDonald. You've had Lauren House on the show before. Really some good stuff to get a lot of different viewpoints and vantage points of how the races are going to turn out. But one of the things that I have, and I guess it's a good thing because it certainly helps the odds and it helps the value. But one of the things that I have had problems with handicapping Western Fair are those races where there are two trailers. Now, for those people that aren't familiar with Western Fair, they start 7 across. And in the race, especially the high five races, a lot of times the mile and a 16th, you'll have two trailers starting from post 8 and post 9. What are some of the things, how do we, as gamblers and punters, how do we handle the two trailers scenario at Western Fair? What's the best way to approach something like that?
Okay, right now with those 9-horse fields starting in a mile and a 16th, of course they're going to have the long straightaway to get to the first turn. So right now as I'm seeing it, the starting gate comes out of the turn. Horses on the outside are getting a bit of the jump on the horses towards the inside because that wing is going a little quicker coming out of the turn. So I have no problem playing horses 4, 5, 6, 7. They're going to show some speed. If they got anything at all, they're going to be forwardly placed. That rail horse has not been getting away as well as the outside horses. So that's stalling the 8, who's right behind him. The 9 does not appear to have much of a problem. I've seen the 9 horse come up from the back tier and sit 2 or 3 following out the 2, if the 2's get any speed. But I don't know. A lot of people say they don't like leaving that outside post or the post 9 and those 9-horse fields. Right now, I guess if I had the rail or if I had the 8-horse, it probably wouldn't be where I want to be. I see better starts from the outside there. So if you're playing that high five races, 6 or 10, the added distance races, any horse with any kind of speed on the outside, that's where I'd be going. Not afraid to play the 9 at all. It's the 1 and 8. The 1 and 8 have to be exceptionally good with good early speed to factor into my tickets. I know a lot of you, when playing those races, that you're selecting the 1, but they're losing about 3, 4, maybe 5 lengths right off the bat because the outside has the momentum coming into the turn. I'm seeing the 1 horse find their best drive maybe right around the actual 1 mile start. So the outside horses are pretty much getting a 16th jump on these horses towards the inside.
Now, a couple of things that I noticed, Sugar, as I'm looking at Western Fair's winning post positions, and one thing I like about the way you guys have this set up is the Western winning trips. I'm going to get to that here in just a second. But the one thing about the nine hole, it's kind of a two-part question. The nine hole at Western Fair, now, you know, and I know you watch Northfield, so I love playing the nine hole at Northfield. Nine hole at Northfield is almost like gold, if you ask me. But I'm sitting here looking at the Western Fair's like statistics. 15 out of just over 1,000 races, if you include the pace and trots, 15 victories. And that's less than – it says 8.8%, but that's just the pace. I mean, it's probably less than that considering the trots. It's incredible that the 9 and 10 aren't – or excuse me, I'm sorry, the 9 hole and even the 8 hole is struggling a little bit, that the 8 and 9s don't win more often.
They will now with the mile and 16th. Now, we didn't bring in those mile and 16th races until the 1st of May. So maybe in the last 1,000 races for those nine horse fields, a lot of those races have been run at a mile. The 8 and 9, they didn't have a whole lot of luck for sure in those fields. And of course, that's what brought about the talk to extend the distance to give horses, all horses in the race, a much fairer shot. So we're seeing the 8s. Do a little better. We're seeing the nines do much better now, and of course the outside starters as well. Sometimes if you didn't have speed with your seven horse and you're on the outside, well, there's eight towards the inside, and you've got to find a seat if you've got no go off the car. But well, yeah, it's a working process. So this is about 3 months now, three full months that we've had the mile and a 16th races for full fields of nine. I think it's become a much fairer race. We've seen some huge high five tickets coming back on it. It really certainly does open up the race. Any horse that's showing decent form coming in, they're a factor in it no matter what post they have.
Now, the Western winning trips. Now, speaking of the high fives, we gave one out not that long ago. It paid a little over $3,000 in a box, so that was pretty nice. And the Western winning trips, I like that you guys include this in your program, and for many reasons. But it seems like if you're leading at the three-quarter pole, you're almost golden. But I'm noticing all the way back to say, you know, fourth and fifth. You know, basically, you can be just about anywhere in the top three or four, and you're pretty golden at Western Fair.
Yeah, that last quarter mile, it comes quick. The wire does come quick. If you get anything left in the tank at all, and you're sitting one, two, three, you should be able to hit that high five. That all button always looks really good, though, for the fifth spot. I've seen so many of the longest shots on the board come in and grab that fifth spot, and the spoil a guy out of hitting the ticket. So if you're playing that high five, it's a really good idea to hit that all button for that fifth and final. Those are the ones that make it pay, of course. We've had some incredible payouts here. The most recent one here was on December 11th, just a few days ago. The high five for 20 cents come back just shy of $4,000. The faves, these are the race favorites that the people have been betting on. They finished first, third, and fourth in there. Nick Stewart, who's our hottest driver on the track, was second with a 20-to-1 shot. He made the ticket, but for a 20 center to come back at $4,000, first, third, and fourth favorites, they finished first, third, and fourth. Yeah, first, second, third favorites, finishing first, third, and fourth. Just a crazy payout. We shake our heads sometimes. How did that pay that? Another one back on the 1st of December, $8,000 for a 20 center. The second choice at 5-2 won the race. It was my top choice. I couldn't believe it.
For those of you that haven't played Western Fair before, there is some tremendous value, not only in the pick five, the high fives, but I mean all over the place. All over the place is good value there.
Yeah, I mean the pick fours; those are go-to wagers. I mean we've got a couple of those each night. I monitor the payouts. And we make that public, what the average pool size has been, what the average payouts have been. Average 20-cent payout on a pick four, late pick four, all through the month of November, $120. That's not bad. Average 20-cent payout on the super high five all through the month of November, it's $800. average payout, 20 center, $800 all through the month of November. Nothing wrong with that. So we make that public. We monitor those pays. The pick three really took off this season. We added a guarantee pool on that. It starts in race number one. Average pool size, $4,000. Average 20-cent payout on a pick three, $75. Can't beat it.
No, certainly can't. Now, when let's talk about these pick fours for a second, Sugar. When you get down and dirty with a pick four, and you're figuring out your combinations, how do you attack it? What's one of the first couple things that you look for when trying to structure a pick four ticket?
I go through the races, the four races for a pick four. I'll look at the morning line favorites, and if they're legit enough, fine and dandy, we're going to use them. If they're beatable favorites, I'm leaving them off the ticket. I don't even bother putting them in, because if the favorites are going to get there, not going to pay. We had one here our last race day, a horse called Silversmith, and I tried to steer people off this horse. His last line, he showed a winner by nine. After the race, I didn't like the way he went off the track, so I mentioned it on the pregame show. It's a vulnerable favorite. He's 7-5 in the morning line. But to me, he's an automatic toss on this pick four ticket. Anyway, the race goes. He makes a break at the gate at even money. He's off the ticket. So here we go. The ticket is going to pay something anyway. Him off the ticket. So I look for beatable favorites to leave off the ticket. If there's a race where just anything can win. I mean, I'm looking at the eighth race trot on Tuesday night. Top class trotters, and I looked through it, and you know what? All eight can win it. Hit the all button. Hit the all button. When you have nothing jumping off the page and hope for value, well, the value there, a 12-1 shot, just happened to miss at the wire, finishing second. I mean, could have got there, but just didn't happen. But the all button looks good if nothing's jumping off the page. Others that are just showing good form and you're expecting 2, 3, 4-1, don't be afraid to put them on the ticket. You got to get there, right? You got to get through the legs and hope for a bomb somewhere. But to me, find that beatable favorite and just, don't say jinx them. I don't want to jinx these horsemen putting horses in to race at our track. But, I mean, Silversmith, again, even money the other night. I left him off the ticket, and I tried to coax people off him, and sure enough, broke at the start and was off the ticket. So look for that beatable favorite, I think, is the key to getting a nice pick four.
Yeah, and really, you only need one long shot, really, to make a pick four pay good. You know, preferably, you want to maybe try to beat the favorite, especially in the first leg, I've noticed. But if you can do you get one good payer in the pick four, then that could really, really make for a great price. And another thing, with the 20-cent bet, you can afford to use the all button now.
Oh, you can hit all. You can hit all twice if you've got a couple of decent ones on the first leg or the second leg. You know, if you go two by two by all, I mean, what's that going to be? It's not going to be too much. Maybe a $40 ticket or so on a 20-cent play, but the shot at hundreds of dollars coming back. And you're right, if you can find that long shot winner in the opening leg, that takes away so many opportunities for others to cash on that.
Yeah, and one of the greatest pieces of advice when I was a young budding handicapper growing up is, you can't. If you've got a wide open race in a pick four sequence and you've got a horse or two that you like in the other legs, and don't try to get cheap and save a couple of bucks and only use five or six horses in that all field. Push the all button, spend a couple of extra bucks, because I will tell you what, it will come back to bite you and it'll be good money.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we had some scratches here on Tuesday night, of course, due to weather conditions. Our friend Lou Sorrell, the hashtag Lou Knows. Well, there's a five-horse field coming up for one of the legs of the pick four. He's got a 1, 3, 5, 8. So he's going to go 4 out of 5. I got the all button on my side for the five-horse field. I say, you might as well give Lou the all button as well. Well, the longest shot on the board won the race in that field of five. So myself and Lou, we hit with the all button. You got to make that all button your friend when playing the pick fours, when playing the high fives.
Absolutely, and make sure you make Western Fair your friend, because I'll tell you what, there's some great value to be had there, and you can follow them. I know Sugar, you post quite a bit on Twitter, and Greg Gangle and Greg Blanchard, just a great crew that you guys got there, really have put Western Fair on the map and made that, in my opinion, one of the best bets on Monday, Tuesday, and Friday night. Sugar, we appreciate you joining us, my friend, and best of luck to you as you continue the meet out there.
Thanks so much. Kind words, gentlemen. Sending best of luck to Michael Carter and Ray Gattolo, Ryan Macedonio on the Breakthrough Award through the Dan Patch Award. So best of luck, Michael.
Thank
you,
sir.
Who are you betting in that race? You know what? I'm betting the show in that race, by the way. That way I won't lose. I could bridge jump somebody. Only a 3-horse field.
No, we're wishing sure. Luck. You guys do great things, and we're so happy to have you with us this meet, handicapping on our Mondays and Tuesdays. It's been great.
Fantastic. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, that was the fine voice of Western Fair, Sugar Doyle, and they're keeping their passing lane, by the way, Mike. I just want to end that speculation. No passing lane announcements from Western Fair.
I tell you, I think I'm still speechless from what we just heard a few minutes ago. And, good stuff from Sugar, though. He provided some good insight. And, he talked a little bit about the equipment that we discussed earlier, kind of if they stretch the hobbles out or if they shorten them up or, if they had blinkers. So it was good. That's good stuff for, maybe somebody who's handicapping a race to know, what they're looking at.
We're going to improve the signal, and we're going to. And by the way, the passing lane gone. I was like, what?
I think that's the first time we both stopped and said what at the same time.
Good stuff. Well, Cammy is coming back in February. I'll tell you right now, you could book it. Cammy Houghton's coming back here in February because there's going to be a lot of eyes on that Yonkers signal. Thank you very much to Sugar Doyle. And yeah, like you said, we've had a great time handicapping Western Fair. And honestly, just now, I think we've been doing it for about 5 weeks now. I'm just starting to get the hang of it because I will tell you what, going into Western Fair trying to handicap it cold is very, very tough to do. But when you watch the product for a while, and if you get to know the product, like Sugar said, there's some great, great value to be had at Western Fair. And Mike, I know you do Tuesdays, I do Mondays. You had some very big Tuesdays there at Western Fair.
Well, listen, you can't hit the broadside of a bus here lately. No,
well, that's what I'm saying. I'm improving. I mean, the last couple of weeks have been a lot better. I ended up with five winners back on Monday. So, but it's definitely a product that you got to get used to, Mike, because it's an animal of its own. It really is.
Well, it is, and that's the thing. I know when we switched up, you were sick, I believe, and I did a Monday program, and I'll tell you, I mean, I got lucky and had a good Monday, but I tell you, if you're not watching these horses every week, it's tough. That's why I'm glad, we stick to our, you do Monday, I do Tuesday, because then I get to kind of see the horses every week. I know who's going to be good. I know who's maybe not going to be good, and, it makes a world of difference.
And for you Western Fair fans, the Western Fair mainstay Wesky is up for the Foiled Again Iron Horse of the Year, presented by good friends at Offutt Pacing. Yeah, so make sure you vote. Please don't put it off. It's Posttime with Mike and Mike.com, and it's under the Posttime Awards segment of the website. Just go on there, click that, and make sure you vote. Don't put it off, because next thing you know, it'll be too late, and who knows, your vote could be the one to cost somebody an award. So make sure you voted. First time with Mike at Mike.com. We're gonna wrap this thing up. It has been a wild edition of Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by Bet America. We're gonna wrap this thing up when we come back.
Here at The Stable, our mission is to provide fair market for owners of yearlings while giving investors the most informative way to purchase all of or part of a horse. The Stable will cater to all budgets by having an open fractional buying market and a flat rate billing system. At The Stable, we aim to minimize the risk in buying and maximize the benefit of selling. Visit thestable.ca or give Anthony McDonald a call at 519-400-4263. That's 519-400-4263. It's thestable.ca.
Have you played Harness Racing's hottest new game? Often Pacing allows you to build and manage a stable of horses, race at real-life racetracks, enlist real drivers, buy, sell, and claim horses, start a breeding operation and breed a champion, and compete against your friends and the entire Often Pacing community. Often Pacing is available at the Google Play Store and on the App Store. For more information, follow them on Twitter or on Facebook at Off and Pacing.
Are you interested in learning more about owning standardbred racehorses? Do you want to experience the excitement of driving a standardbred? Owning a racehorse is a once-in-a-lifetime experience and not as difficult as you may think. The United States Trotting Association wants to help make your ownership dreams a reality. Contact a member of the Ownership Concierge team by email at owners@ustrotting.com or by calling 877-800-8782, extension 5555.
Thank you for being part of the 2017 Breeders' Crown at Hoosier Park Racing and Casino. Together, we witness the greatest harness racing athletes in the world vie for $6 million and solidify their place in Breeders' Crown history. We would like to offer our sincerest congratulations to the 2017 Breeders' Crown champions. Join us for the 2018 live harness racing season. 160 days of the country's best harness racing action. Visit HoosierPark.com for more information on the upcoming live racing season.
Picking up speed. Here they come. They're off, and it is on.
If you're already off and pacing, what's the next step? If you're between the ages of 8 and 17 or know someone who is, visit thisisharnessracing.com to download the application for the This Is Harness Racing Aspiring Drivers Program. Perks include being a driver in the off and pacing game, meeting real-life top drivers, and getting free off and pacing merchandise. Join the movement. ThisIsHarnessRacing.com. Hashtag ThisIsHarnessRacing on Twitter and Facebook.
We're back on Post Time with Mike and Mike, presented by Bet America. Make sure you stop by Meadowlands Racing and Entertainment this Saturday as they have their Swipe and Score contest. You can win some cash in the Players Club promo. Swipe your Players Club card and win a betting voucher worth up to $500. The prizes range from $2 to $500. The voucher will print after the first swipe, one voucher per person, and it's open to Players Club members. Just make sure you stop by the Players Club desk at Meadowlands Racing and Entertainment. And I'll tell you what, Mike, if you haven't finished your Christmas shopping yet, which I know you haven't, Hoofbeats is offering a $5 for $5 deal if you purchase a new subscription or renewal for yourself and get a subscription for up to five of your friends for just $5 each. Make sure you visit Hoofbeats at USTA.com. Well, we've had an exhilarating show here today, that's for sure. For Mike Bozich, I'm Mike Carter. We thank you for joining us. Make sure you stop by our website, vote for the Post Time with Mike and Mike Awards. We'll see you back here next Thursday, First Post, 10:30. Good night, everybody.
And if you're in the neighborhood, make sure you stop and pay your respects to the Yonkers Passing Lane.